Today on Real Life Radio.
I love the fact that I'm holding in my hand my Bible, and it's telling me about stuff that hasn't happened yet, but it's soon to come. Doesn't that just give you so much strength when somebody says, oh, brother, you believe in the Bible? That old crusty book? Hey, this old crusty book is more current than today's newspaper.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as war and conflict intensify across the globe, where can we as people find hope in the future?
Jesus said there'd be days just like this that would preempt the final days of His physical return. That's the second coming of Christ.
Never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with biblical prophecy. And there's no one better to share that with us, the reality of the Bible and its link to current events, than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's got a new book called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. Now, in this book, you're going to discover how things are falling into place, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago.
What do we want to do? We want to look to the Bible and find out how it ends. Right? Don't you want to know?
You can learn about what's coming up next in the prophetic calendar, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays, prophetically, in all this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called Antichrist is Coming to Town, Part 1. Now, you could be overwhelmed by the title, but don't be. We need to see what the Bible has to say about this up-and-coming world leader. You see, this imposter of Christ may not be what you think. He's going to be a world-renowned orator, mesmerizing people in the crowds with his speeches. A politician with legislative and judicial powers that some would call magnetic. And when the Antichrist takes over, he's going to allow a global world religion, but only under his governmental control. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that after Satan was cast out of heaven, as we see in Revelation chapter 12, he knows what little time he has left on earth. This is why he goes all out to mock God and to spread false teachings about the deity of Christ. Now in his message called Antichrist is Coming to Town, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
To connive and weave his way into the nations and the leadership of the nations of the world. He will be unlike any politician ever. And he will, by the way, bring to pass all that which the Emperor of Japan wished for. He will bring to pass all that Adolf Hitler longed for. Mussolini, Stalin, all of them. Who failed in their attempt to take the world, Antichrist will do it. The instead of Christ, the imposter Christ. And Jesus warned us over and over again to watch out and to be careful about the Antichrist. He said at a time like that in Matthew 24, 21, Jesus said, and there, that is during that time, there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world or until this time, nor ever shall be. So as we get into this, I want you to remember a verse that is very comforting to us and very beneficial at a time like this. Revelation chapter 13 onward teaches us some very graphic things. But listen, in Revelation 1:3, will you jot it down? It's still true, my friend. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads. Okay, stop right there. I am encouraging you to read the book of Revelation. Why? Because it's the only book of the Bible that says, happy or blessed is he who reads this book and those who hear the words of its prophecy. I not only encourage you to read the book of Revelation as often as you can, but keep coming to the Bible study. Why? You'll be blessed. It's the only book in the Bible that invites you to be blessed in its study. He says, and keeps those things that are written in the book, for the time is near. So let's study it and let's be blessed because we do study it. First point, the coming of the Antichrist is this, found in verses 1 and 2. And regarding the Antichrist and his advent, it will become a global event. I'm going to ask you to jot that down because it's specific how it's written. First point, it will become a global event. The Bible teaches us that this man, this political man of intrigue, will arise onto the political scene, somewhat insignificant at first. That's why you hear about the 10 heads and the 10 crowns, and you read about Daniel. What's that all about? You know, it says here in Revelation, the 7 and the 10 and the 10 crowns. What is all that? The book of Daniel tells you what that means. That the man will arise through intrigue. He will be one who is in a leadership role of what used to be ancient Roman Empire or ancient Europe. It will be, the Bible tells us, coming back together again. In the last days, there'll be a United States of Europe in the last days. It will be a system that will begin to dominate financially the world. The euro, I believe, is on its way to take over the dollar. There are companies and there are countries that are engineering that very thing and preparing. I know some of you that, my goodness, it's been several years now. You went out and bought thousands and thousands of euros. And now you've done pretty good on your money. Why is that the case? Because you'll see a currency arise out of Europe that will overcome the dollar, will overcome the British pound, it will overcome the yen or other currencies. The Bible speaks about the Antichrist formulating a financial system that is going to be all-powerful. And it's going to eventually become his world. But the thing is that he comes on the scene and it will be a global event that grows. Now look, we know this, that Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 tells us that this treaty that he'll sign with Israel is good for 7 years. Well, he's going to have some clout before that 7 years comes to pass. Who's going to listen to this guy, right? But it could be that he's involved in a process whereby that's his claim to fame, that he brought peace to the Middle East. Now, look, I don't know about you guys, but that ought to perk up your ears. Do you listen to current news? They're looking, the world is looking for someone to bring peace to the Middle East. It's like the pivotal point for everything. You say, well, it doesn't bother me. Yes, it does bother you. You just don't know it yet. Terrible. Dangerous times. The world is crying out for peace. And the world knows that there will be no peace in the world until the Middle East situation is taken care of. And how strange it is that a country the size of New Jersey is so important to the world that it requires the meetings of the minds of nations around the world. And yet God said in the Bible, in the last days before I come back, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to the nations of the world. Who would have said or believed such a thing 25, 30, 50, 100 years ago? But yet it's front page news today. Israel is in the news. By the way, Jerusalem, you can do a search on this. The city of Jerusalem appears in more news articles than any other city per day, per year, since 1948. Interesting. Now, why is that significant? These are warning signs. Well, he will become, or it will become a global event, the coming of the Antichrist, by political means. It says here in verse 1, then I. Now, you ought to circle that I, because some of your Bibles say what? Anyone? He. So which one is it? Well, let's read it both ways. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns upon those horns. What is the other reading? Then he stood on the sand of the sea. John says then, next sentence, I saw a beast. And a lot of scholars, I happen to be one who holds to this particular view, I think verse 1, it should say, then he, because it jives perfectly, it dovetails perfectly with Revelation chapter 12. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan has cast to earth and he knows that he has but just a short time and that he's now going to launch his attack. He's going to perpetrate his plan. It seems to me that it is Satan who stands on the sand of the sea after being cast out of heaven, Revelation chapter 12. John responds by saying, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, meaning that it's Satan who draws out of the sea this bizarre creature described to us as a beast. Now, is it a beast? No. Is Satan a dragon? No, it's symbolic language, which requires of us also to consider the sea. What is the sea? Somebody might say it's the Great Sea, and the Great Sea to the Middle Eastern mind is the Mediterranean, and it is a great sea. Is that what's meant here? It could be. But also the Bible speaks about the sea, generally speaking of Gentile communities around the world. You all know this. We use the term all the time. And maybe we don't realize the biblical significance of it when we say the sea of humanity. You ever heard that term? That's a biblical understanding. That's a biblical concept. That the Antichrist will rise up out of the sea of humanity. Now, will his proximity and will his advent to power be in relation to the Mediterranean? No doubt about it. To the Middle East? Of course. So John says, I saw this one rise up out of the sea, this beast rising up out of the sea, and this is what I saw. I saw seven heads. Speaking of leadership, I saw seven heads. Daniel tells us more about those seven heads, that there are seven ruling or governing entities, but it gets more specific. And 10 horns. I don't want to confuse you, but the 10 horns are not the seven heads. 10 horns, the word horns throughout all the Old Testament speaks about kingship, tremendous authority. How do we know? What kind of authority? It tells us. And on those horns, how many horns? Not seven, but how many? 10. They have crowns. They rule the world with power. They are a confederacy of leaders who have special authority, and they've been granted crowns of dominion. This is very interesting. It's not foreign to our thinking of realms or kingdoms that have such powers. We've mentioned before the G7, or now it's the G8. These are the nations of the world that determine economic policy around the globe. So the Bible says there's going to be 10 main rulers that will arise in the last days. What's interesting to me is I love this. I know I get overexcited about it, but I love the fact that I'm holding in my hand my Bible, and it's telling me about stuff that hasn't happened yet, but it's soon to come. Doesn't that just give you so much strength when somebody says, oh, brother, you believe in the Bible? That old crusty book? Hey, this old crusty book is more current than today's newspaper. This old crusty book is going to tell me what's coming up. And not only that, it tells me what my Jesus did for me in the past and what he's doing for me today and where he's going to take me when my life comes to an end or there's a trumpet blast and we go up to meet him. I'm excited about that. And that's a wonderful thing. So you know what? On your lap, don't take it lightly. On your lap is a serious book. It is the book of books. It is God's word given to man that we might know our way, that we not be lost. Now, having said that, look with me. He comes by political means. That's what's all the talk about, the seven heads and the horns and the crowns and all of this. By political intrigue, Daniel tells us that he will deceive the world. Listen, he will deceive the world exactly how the world wants to be deceived. I'm being very sarcastic, but accurate. The world, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, when this man comes on the scene, this leopard that speaks like a lion with bear's feet of a man, when he comes on the scene, he's going to dupe the world with prosperity, financial gain, and peace. That's what the world wants. Look, I can't blame them. That's a nice thing to have. Maybe this morning you're saying, Jack, what possibly could be wrong with that? There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it has to come in priority. It has to come in an order. See, right now this world's messed up. Have you caught on? It's a pretty goofed up world. Things have got to be fixed and dealt with according to God. Don't you agree with me that there should be justice in the earth? It's pretty hard to find justice these days. God says, I'm bringing justice. It's pretty hard to find equity in the world. God says, I'm bringing it. There's a priority. There's a lot of people lost and they don't know God. In fact, they're caught up into cults and they don't even know their way. And Jesus says, preach the gospel and give them the light and tell them that I love them. Priority first. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a shame it would be. Can you imagine being Bill Gates right now? You can pick up the phone. I bet you don't even have to pick up the phone. He could probably snap his finger and say, I want a banana split. I want a banana split with vanilla on this side and chocolate ice cream on the other side. I want a banana split with some peanuts on the north end and cashews on the south end. He could ask anything he wants. He could say, you know what? I'm going to go buy that island and move my company out of America so I can do my own thing. He could do anything he wants. Can you imagine having that kind of power? I read probably about a year ago when they gave the list. It's been about 9 months ago. They gave the list of the rich people in the world. Did you know that according to the population of America, Bill Gates could buy each and every one of us, citizens of the United States, a BMW? And I read that and I thought, who wants a BMW? what were they trying to do? To bring it down to our level to understand. This is how rich he is. He can do this. How about this? He's so rich, but is he going to go to heaven because he's rich? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. But Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, and he's got a side entrance. No. He gave to all kinds of benevolent causes, and he's helped hungry people around the world. So come on in, Bill Gates. No. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That includes Bill Gates. I would hate to be that rich and never come to know God, the one who gave him his wealth. Don't love the money. Rejoice and love God and see what you can do with the money. That makes all the difference in the world. As you are an example this week with all that you did for those displaced children in Russia who were terrorized and those girls in Africa. It's a tremendous thing to realize. Listen, also by religious mockery, this man will come on the global scene. It will become a global event, his coming onto the world scene, because he will make light of, when I say religion, he will make light of your faith, or I should say faith in Jesus Christ. They'll make light of it. His cabinet, his entourage, his government will make light of it. I personally believe that what we're seeing in Europe is the advent of the revised or the resurrection of the old Roman Empire. When you see and read about the reunification of Europe, the EU, or I read it this week, the United States of Europe. When you read and hear about that, isn't it interesting that their constitution that they've drawn up in putting it together, they got together and they specifically said, we're not going to make the mistake that America's in right now. We are going to delete any reference of God from our system. And that's what they did. A godless system, but it's hypocritical because the Bible says when this man comes on the scene, they're going to reconsider that and they're going to hail him as a god. In fact, we'll keep studying the next few weeks. We'll see that the very temple that he allows to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, he winds up commandeering it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that he's going to go into the temple. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 15, he's going to stand there and declare himself to be God. All of his success through Satan's going to go to his head, and he's going to own it for himself. Isn't that amazing? And yet that's what the Bible talks about. Religious mockery is going to make light of faith, true faith in God. It says at the end of verse 1, and on his head, blasphemous names. You know, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Doesn't that sound narrow? Come on, let's be honest. Isn't it narrow? In fact, if you look at it in the Greek language, it's even narrower. It would read like this, I am the way, there is no other. I am the truth, there is no other. I am, he says, the life, there is no other. Yeah, well, that's what I don't like that about you Christians. It's so narrow. I have to admit it is narrow. I have to confess it's narrow. It is narrow. How many people do you want to have die on a cross for your sins? How often does that have to happen for you? When is it broad enough for you? I mean, let's just get right down to the heart of the matter. The fact that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, it just flat out upsets people. And you can be upset all you want. But on Sunday morning, Jesus' tomb was emptied. And then, because of that, you got to sit up and listen. Not only that, but if you'll examine the Old Testament record, it said that this would happen. You got to square with Jesus. You got to deal with it. You can't sweep him under the carpet. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That means before you pass from this world, you're going to have to deal with the truth of Christ. He ain't going away. You're going to have to deal with that. You either deny him or you accept him. But you can't ignore him. A lot of people are trying to ignore him. Well, the Antichrist will lead a tremendous movement of denial regarding the deity of Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That word means born from above. Yeah, that's another issue I have. You guys always talking about being born again, born again. You know, I don't want to belong in that club. It's not a club. Listen, the first time I heard it, it bothered me too. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it. Listen, he told that to a Jewish priest. Do you hear what I'm saying, everybody? Are you with me? That man was 10 times more religious than all of us combined. You think you're religious? Nicodemus put you and I to shame. He fasted. He gave money like you couldn't believe. He looked at the law and he did everything he could to keep it. And when he blew it, he grabbed an animal and went down to the temple and sacrificed it to have his sins covered. You think he drank and cussed and porned around on the internet? Jesus turned to him and said, unless you're born again, you'll not make it. He was so shocked by that. He said, Jesus, how can I, being an old man, enter into my mother and come out again a second time? He didn't listen to what Jesus said. The word in Greek means, unless you're born from above, Nick, you're not going to make it. You've been born of this earth one time, but you have to be born a second time from above. You were born of your mother in this world. To make it to heaven, to the next world, you have to be born from above.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Antichrist is Coming to Town, Part 1. We're glad you joined us today. Antichrist is Coming to Town, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it's always a treat to have Pastor Jack sitting here in the studio with us. Good to see you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Davey.
You know, the response to your new book, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame, has been almost overwhelming.
It's been crazy. But I must be honest, it's very small. People need to know that. And that turned out to be a blessing because it's packed with truth.
Yeah.
And it is. You're right. It's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame. But it's turned out to be something where people are buying numerous copies and handing it out to either frightened believers or unbelievers.
That's pretty cool. Apparently, people are interested in what the Bible has to say about the future.
It's not only that, but people are very keenly aware that the days in which we're in, it's shaking everybody's footing, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is asking questions.
Here's a small quote from the book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every believer should be on the watch, looking, scanning, observing the horizon for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior with an expectant and eager anticipation.
Uh-huh.
Can you dive into that for me just a little bit?
Yes.
What does it mean to have an expectant and eager anticipation?
Yeah, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus could come back for his church at any time. In fact, Jesus even said so. So the question is, do we just go sit up on top of the roof and wait, or do we get involved in the culture and let righteousness be seen by how we live our lives? And that's everywhere, Davey.
Right.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the Bible calls it occupying till he comes. That means be engage the culture, raise your kids, save money for the future, get involved in your church, and live the Christian life with boldness and security, but all the while expecting Christ at any time.
Awesome. Pastor Jack, we always love it when we get a chance to be in the studio together.
Love it, Davey.
Thanks, my brother. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.